And I'm empowered and encouraged by that.
Amen.
We have a scripture today, a word today from God. I'm glad about that. I'm going to ask you to turn with me to the book of Ephesians, chapter 1. We're going to be in the book of Ephesians, the first chapter. And when you get there, I ask you to go to verse number 3 in Ephesians chapter 1. Ephesians 1, and let's go to verse number 3. And it says, "Blessed be the God and Father of our Lord Jesus Christ, who has blessed us with all spiritual blessings in heavenly places in Christ." Amen. That's our scripture for today, Ephesians 1 and 3. "Blessed be the God and Father of our Lord Jesus Christ, who has blessed us with all spiritual blessings in heavenly places in Christ." Amen.
Amen.
Our title today for the word that God has for us is Living the Blessed Life. Amen. Living the blessed life. And we just read Ephesians 1 and verse 3. Let's pray and then let's incline our ear unto God. Father, we bless you and we thank you one more time for bringing us to this part of the service. Father, we believe that you have a word for us today. Our prayer is that the word will go forward with power, with authority, with clarity. And God, that it will fall on good ground in our heart.
Yes.
And God, that it will go deeply into our spirit and our soul. That, Father God, we may bring forth a bountiful harvest of revelation, of miracles, of signs, of wonders, of service, of worship, oh God, of all the things that pertain to life and godliness. Father, we're praying today that we will come away with understanding, oh God. Understanding of what the will of the Lord is for us at this hour. So, Father God, right now we just bow before you, Lord,
yes,
that
Lord.
You may be exalted, that you may be elevated in this place. We submit to your authority. We yield to your perfect will. And God, we thank you for the goodness that shall be on display and for the power of your word,
Lord,
that will transform us and transform our lives. We're ready to hear you, Lord, and we give you the praise and thanks. In Jesus' name, amen.
Amen.
Living the blessed life. We just read Ephesians 1 through 3. 1 and verse 3. Amen. And it says that Paul says that we have been blessed with all spiritual blessings in Christ. Amen. And this is an appropriate scripture, amen. It's just, you know, talking to God and seeking his face on this week. And, you know, this is the week before Thanksgiving Day. And as Thanksgiving approaches, it's a time when many Christians and even many non-Christians take the time to express gratitude for the blessings in their lives.
Yes.
Many Christians and many non-Christians are aware of and truly appreciate, right, all of the goodness and the blessings in their lives. And I would like to believe that most Christians will give thanks to God,
amen,
for those blessings.
Amen.
I also believe that many non-Christians are more likely to have just a general sense of gratitude, you know, for their good fortune. You know, they're thankful for what they have, but they may not necessarily acknowledge the God who made it all possible.
Yes. Amen.
But unlike the psalmist, amen, the psalmist said, "It is the Lord's doing, and it is marvelous in our eyes."
Amen.
When I see goodness in my life, I give glory to God. And credit to God, because it's the Lord's doing, and it's marvelous in my eyes. So I stand with the psalmist on that one. That's my response to the goodness of God. And it sounds like that's your response too.
Amen.
And, you know, while many people are thankful, even Christians and non-Christians, even the thankful ones tend to be aware of what they do not have. Even the thankful ones tend to have a longing to obtain something else. That's why so many people speak in terms of more money, a newer car, a bigger house, fresher clothes, the latest gadgets, a better job. Because many of us and many people have some or all of those things, but the longing and the hope is for something better. And so we look at it and you know, we know what we don't have. We go into the refrigerator and we know there's no milk. But there's juice. And there's water. And there's soda. But we're wondering, where's the milk? Many times we know what we don't have more than we acknowledge what we do have. And so a great deal of time and energy from Christians and non-Christians, those who are thankful, included in that, is a longing for the next big thing. That next big thing in your life. The thing that we believe is going to bring greater happiness to us. The thing that's going to make our life more complete. But God has impressed upon my heart today that there is no next big thing that's coming. Whatever your next big thing is, if you are a born-again believer, it is already here. And if you are listening closely, that is exactly what Nidus just said a few minutes ago.
Yes.
See, Sister Nina, there was a reason why the Lord wanted you coming up here on this morning. Because you said we need to pray about what we already have and be believing about what we already have. So God says there's no next big thing that's coming. Your next big thing, my next big thing, if we're born again believers, those things are already here. We already have them in Christ.
Amen.
Your life, my life, our lives are not going to be blessed by something that is to come.
Jesus.
Our lives are already blessed by what Christ has already done.
Amen.
Right? Our life's not going to be blessed by something that's going to come. Our lives are already blessed.
Amen, amen.
Because of what Christ has already done. The scripture says, blessed be God the Father, God and the Father of our Lord Jesus Christ, who has blessed us.
Yes.
It's already done. Which is one of the reasons why in John chapter 19, verse 30, Jesus said, it is finished.
Yes.
It, why? Because it's already done. We have the blessings. And where do we have them? We have the blessings in heavenly places in Christ. That's shouting ground right there because it means that there's not any blessing coming into your life that you don't already have.
Yes. Amen. Amen.
So we need to stop waiting for blessings to come into our life and start living the blessed life that you already have in Christ.
Yes. Amen.
Amen and hallelujah, but how do we get there?
Mm-hmm.
And God says one of the things that we can do this and how we start to get to that point where we're living the blessed life. And see, understand too, if we believe the blessings need to come, then that means we don't believe we're blessed really right now. Because there's certain other things that still need to come. But oh, if we begin to believe the truth that I'm already blessed.
Yes.
And we start living that way right now, it will change everything. It will change the way we look at circumstances and situations and challenges and setbacks and all these other things. Because we know something. I'm still blessed.
Yes. Amen.
I'm already blessed. Now, some of those things need to manifest themselves in the natural, but see what Paul said. He said that we are blessed with all spiritual blessings in heavenly places in Christ. See, we have all the blessings in the Spirit. The challenge is now to walk and live a life that brings that which is in the Spirit into the natural. And that's where we fail. But part of the reason why we can't bring from the Spirit into the natural is because we don't even know we have them in the Spirit.
Wow.
That's why we're praying so hard for God to give us things that we already have. So, how are we going to start living this blessed life? God said one of the first things we can do, we can start right here. We can start by thanking God. Amen. We can start by thanking God. We can begin to live the blessed life when we make it a habit to thank God for the blessings we have. Again, you may not have them in the natural. I may not have them in the natural. I may not have all the things that I'm believing for, all the things I need, all the things I want in the natural. But I have to believe and know and understand something. I have them in the Spirit, because in the Spirit realm, it's already done. And so we have so many things, whether we possess them in the natural right now or not, we have so many things that we can be grateful for.
Amen.
Last week, Dominguez came to visit with us, and we were talking about, you know, our parents and the things that our parents go through and the cycle of life when, you know, you start taking care of your parents because they get to a point where they can no longer take care of themselves, either for a time or that's just where they are. And they made a statement that as they were talking, I said, boy, what a truth in that. And they said, thank God for life, health, and strength. And Sister Diane said, you know, the church always uses that, say, I thank God for life, health, and strength, but we really don't mean it when we say it. But we need to thank God for life, health, and strength.
Amen.
And see, it was said in the context of now a parent who could no longer take care of themselves.
Yes.
A parent who used to take care of children and drive and do this and do that, now couldn't even do simple things like put on their own clothes.
Yeah.
Thank God for life, health, and strength.
Yes.
See, we need to thank God that on this morning, nobody needed to assist you in putting on your clothes. I know that may not seem like much, but all you got to do is watch somebody who used to be able to do that, who can't do it anymore. And if you look real closely at their face, you will see a pain in their face that says, I can't believe I can't do this. I can't believe that I need someone to help me with this. Because there is something. And I remember speaking to my mom where she has said that one of the things that really hurt her the most when her health turned for the worse was that she couldn't drive her car anymore. That she couldn't get herself around anymore. That she had to rely on other people. There's so many things that you and I do that we know we don't have to rely on someone right now. Mm-hmm. You get in your car, you drive yourself. You put on your own clothes. You brush your own teeth.
Yes.
I mean, you shower yourself.
Yes.
You do all these things yourself. And many times we take it all for granted. But somebody needs to say, thank God for life, health, and strength.
Yes.
That I can take care of myself.
Yes.
That I can get myself around.
Yes.
That is not a small thing.
Amen.
Good, good God.
There are so many people right now who can't do that, who will trade places with you in a minute. Just so I can put on my own shoes.
Yes.
I can put on my own clothes. I can brush my own teeth.
Yes.
I can wash my own face. Somebody need to say, thank God for my health and strength. Hallelujah. I'm grateful, God, that I have my life, my health, and my strength.
Amen.
Thank you, Lord.
Thank God for a right mind.
Amen.
Huh? There's some people right now, their minds are twisted like a pretzel.
Yes.
Can't think straight.
Yes.
Things they could remember before, they can't remember now. Can't remember names. They lose their train of thought in the middle of a sentence. Can't recognize loved ones. Praise God for being in your right mind.
Yes.
Come on, somebody. And if these are things we try to, you know, we kind of go past. We're grateful generally, but you know what? We need to say, thank God I'm in my right mind.
Amen.
Glory to God. Thank God I'm in my right mind. Thank God I got life, health, and strength. Glory to God. There are so many things. And God says, start by thanking me. You want to live the best life? Start by thanking me. Why? Because there are so many things in our lives that we are blessed by. Before we start getting to material possessions and this and that and the other thing, thank God for my life, my health, my strength.
Yes.
Thank God for my right mind.
Yes.
Thank God that I have a heart that still longs for God in a world that's trying to tear me away from Him 24 hours a day, 7 days a week.
Yes.
Thank God I still want to see the Lord. I still want to commune with the Lord. I still want to read this word. Thank God I still have a hunger and thirst for righteousness.
Amen.
Amen. Glory to God. We didn't even get to stuff. We didn't get to food. Forget all those things. Thank God for these things.
Yes.
And every day that we wake up, that's a good way to start your day. Your feet hit the floor and you don't follow behind. You know what I mean? Then you just stand up. Thank God for life, health, and strength. You walk across the floor. Ooh, thank God my the activity of my limbs still work. Come on, somebody. Thank God. God says, start by being thankful. Amen. And I tell you, when we get into the habit of taking inventory of our lives, I used to work in the store. I used to hate inventory time. We had to count. The store would close, and we had to take inventory of everything that was in the store.
Yes, yes.
Everything that was on the shelf, everything that was in the trays, everything that was downstairs in the stock room.
Yes.
You had to count every last thing.
Yes.
I hated taking inventory. Because it was boring. Just had to go and count how many jars of grease you had. I worked in the health and beauty store. How many tubes of lipstick you had. How many combs and brushes. I hated taking inventory. But I tell you what, it's good to take inventory of our lives. It's good to take a step back and to survey your life and to see all the blessings that you have in your life.
Amen, amen.
See, we need to take inventory more often. Because if we took inventory of our lives, we would be lifting up our hands and thanking God on a regular basis.
Yeah.
Amen.
Amen.
See, because in those stores, they take inventory once a year. And see, sometimes Christians only take inventory of their lives once a year. December 31st, they start thinking about what happened on the whole year. You need to take inventory every day, amen? You need to look to see all the blessings. And if, when we do that, do you know how many blessings we're going to see and then give God the glory for?
Amen.
We will be giving God praise. But we got to get into the habit of being thankful. And see, even if it's a habit, and you say, well, I always thank God. I know you do. But how many of you know you can get your habit to be even stronger? How many of you know that?
Amen.
Amen. You can always get better, even at the thing you're doing. We can always get better.
Amen.
But we got to make it a habit. Make it a habit of thanking God. Not for those big things that come, but for life, health, and strength. For being in your right mind.
Yeah.
For activity of your limbs. Taking the inventory of your, ooh, I thank God. Ooh, ooh. Yeah, I tell you, I sit down and I eat breakfast and I thank God for my food and the table.
Amen.
Do you understand? I thank God for the food and the table. Because I don't have to have a table. Right? I got a chair too. Come on, somebody. Next time you go into your car and you start it up, thank God. Somebody car didn't start up. Huh? You turn on your light switch. Praise God.
Amen.
There's so many things. There's so many things. Let's develop the habit, right, of thanking God. Right? Every morning, get into your thankful mood first. It will get your day off to the right start if you're thankful first. Amen. Glory to God. Before we start making our requests known. I know the Bible says make your requests known, but glory to God. Thank God first.
Amen.
Amen. Amen. Thank Him first. Praise God. If you thank God, sometimes you can get to the point you're thanking God so much for all the things you have, you forget to ask for stuff. Because you go, woof. Oh God, I started thanking you for so many things. I forgot what I was going to ask you. I'm good. Thank you, Lord.
Amen.
Let's make it a habit, amen, of thanking God. You know what thanking God will do to us? I believe this. See, because you got to think first about what you're thankful for. Mm-hmm. Right? But the Bible says, as a man thinketh in his heart, so is he, right? And so as I think, and then I think about the things God has done, and then that gratitude comes, right? That gratitude comes, and then my heart is filled with gratitude, and then out of the abundance of the heart, the mouth begins to speak.
Yes.
And now I start going, oh, thank you, God.
Yes.
Amen. Oh, because now thankfulness is just in my heart because I took time to think about it. Yes. And now my heart, out of the abundance, I got an abundance of thankfulness in my heart. And now I begin speaking, oh, thank you, Lord, right? Thankfulness comes out of me, amen. Like Paul, amen, Paul, when he was on his way to Damascus, it said he had threatenings and murder coming out of him. But see, when you start thanking God, from out of your pores, your spiritual pores, thankfulness and gratitude will start coming out. Amen. You'll just be a thankful person, and then your vocabulary will change, amen, because you will be speaking out of that abundance. The gratefulness that you have. Amen. But as we start to speak words that are about thankfulness and the goodness of God, and our vocabulary starts to change, then our lives start to change, right? Why? Because death and life are in the power of the tongue. And when you're speaking thankfulness, you're speaking life. You're speaking good things. Amen. And now next thing you know, hey, you got good things coming on in your life.
Amen.
Because that's what you're speaking about. Some people who are ungrateful don't know that. See, you being ungrateful leads you to start saying things that are negative, and death and life are in the power of the tongue, and they who love it will eat the fruit thereof. And so you're out there complaining, I don't have this, I don't have enough time, people just getting on my last nerve. No wonder your life is so miserable. Look at what you're saying. But if you start going, oh, God's been good to me, oh, God blesses me coming and going, every time I turn around, God helping me do something. Being thankful unto God.
Amen.
And it fills your heart with gratitude. Out of the abundance of your heart, your mouth starts speaking gratitude, and now goodness now is all over your life.
Yes.
Glory to God. And because of that, now it leads you right back to the God who blessed you in the first place. Because now you look at something else, you go, oh God, amen. And your mind just now becomes stayed on God. And he said, listen, I'll keep you in perfect peace if your mind is staying on me. Glory to God. But where does it start? By being thankful.
Amen.
Being thankful. Amen. We need to be thankful. Glory to God. Let's get more thankful. Because I'm telling you, the more thankful we get, it will transform us.
It will.
Oh, glory to God. The upsets that come into our life, we'll know that the blessings we have so far outweigh that thing don't move me. Amen. Even if that thing doesn't work, I'm so blessed, you got to be kidding me. I'm going to get upset over that?
Yeah.
Come on, somebody.
Amen.
Amen. Amen. There's been times I've gone after some work, nonetheless, and the client don't want me to take on the job. I'm so blessed. Do you think I'm going to cry because you leaving? I mean, mean, you know what I'm saying? I'm not that I'm taking it for granted, but I'm not going to be worried about what I don't have when I got so many blessings in my life.
Amen.
And quite frankly, it's a disrespect to my current clients if all I'm mad about and concerned about is the client who don't even want to be a client. I need to be showing them some thanks through service.
Amen.
Yeah. Amen? Glory to God. The preacher who get up here who can't preach because somebody didn't come to church today is disrespecting everybody who did.
Amen.
Come on, somebody. You need to be thankful for what you have. Who forget what you don't have? Glory to God.
Yeah.
Amen. So it says, so God said it starts with being thankful. Now living a blessed life, glory to God, starts with being thankful.
Amen.
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 Amen. The second thing, it comes back to what Sister Nida said earlier, amen. That is, the second thing we can do to start living this blessed life is to realize that we already have it.
Amen.
Whatever the thing is.
Yes.
Realize that you already have it.
Hallelujah.
And that's just scripture. That's not preaching.
Yeah.
That's scripture. Because the scripture said, blessed be God and Father, the God and Father of our Lord Jesus Christ, who has blessed us.
Amen.
Has blessed means you already have it.
Amen.
He has blessed. He's not going to. He has blessed.
Amen.
Amen. So we already have the blessings.
Amen.
We have them in Christ. And through his finished work on the cross. It's finished, right?
Mm-hmm.
Do you know what scripture says? That Jesus, in plenty, many, many places, it says that Jesus is seated at the right hand of the Father.
Mm-hmm.
You know that? He's seated at the right hand of the Father. And if we understand that being seated is a position of rest, then we need to understand something. Jesus is not going to be doing any more stuff. He's in a position of rest.
Yeah.
Why? Because he's finished the work already.
Yeah. Yeah.
When you finish the work, you sit down. Amen?
Yeah, right.
And he's seated at the right hand of God.
Right,
and yet
right.
We keep going to Jesus, and he's still got some work to do for us.
Hallelujah.
He's sitting there. He's in a position of rest. Because he knows it's already done. Now he's waiting for us to understand it's already done. He's seated. Because he said, I did what I'm supposed to do. His work is done. Now, I like Andrew Womack. He's a good preacher. I don't know how maybe a teacher. He's an excellent teacher. And he gave an example once on this topic. And he's talking about how you know, we have to understand this thing that God has already blessed us. And he gave an example. He said, if I walk over to you and I hand you my Bible and you receive my Bible, and then after I hand you my Bible and you receive my Bible, you ask me for my Bible. He said, I'm just going to look at you.
Right. Crazy.
He said, I'm just going to look at you. He said, I won't even know what to say. I handed you my Bible, and now you're asking me for my Bible. I don't know what to say to you.
Yeah.
I'm just end up looking at you.
Yes.
And he says, but many Christians have reported that they prayed to God and God hasn't said anything.
Wow.
And could it be because you're asking for God, you're asking God for something that he already gave you?
Yes. Amen. Amen.
So now he's just looking at you. Lord, I need some peace.
Yeah. He said, my peace.
My peace I give to you.
Yes.
You have the fruit of the Spirit. Love, joy, peace.
Hallelujah.
Lord, I just need to feel your love. The love of God has been shed abroad in your heart by the Holy Ghost that's been given. just need some joy, Lord. These things have I told you, that my joy might remain in you, and that your joy might be full.
Amen.
I just need joy. And God just looks at you. How many things have we been asking God for that he already gave us?
Yes, yes.
And could the silence be because he don't know what to say to us? And we're all guilty of it.
Yeah.
We come into the church service and we pray for Jesus to be in the midst.
Yes.
But he already said, if two or three are gathered together in my name, there I'd be in the midst. Jesus, we're here in the name. We ask you to be in the midst. What you asking them for? He already said it. He already blessed you with the midst. I'm in the midst. God, I just want you to be with me. Lord, if you be with me, then Lord, be with me. What do you mean, be with you? I promised I will never leave you nor forsake you. Why are you praying to me to come along? I told you I'm already here. I'm telling you, how many things have we asked God for routinely that he already said is ours? We have to realize we already have it. God has blessed us. What's the difference? What's the difference in realizing you already have a thing as opposed to you wanting God to give you a thing? Think about it this way. Maybe this time. Think about it this way. Imagine you have a house. You know you have a house. And you appreciate your house and you enjoy your house. And then the devil comes and he's doing everything that he could to try to take your house. You will fight that devil with everything in your being in order to keep what you have. Right? This is mine. You're not taking this. He try to take your sofa. You know, you got a little demon coming, they taking your sofa. You go, you be pulling that thing back.
Yep.
But now imagine that you are asking for a house. And the devil's trying to keep you from getting the house. You don't have it yet. And he's throwing everything at you. Every trick in the book, every deception, every evil thing at you to try to keep you from getting the house that you want to get.
Yes.
At some point, if the fight goes long enough and if the fight is fierce enough, you may start to give up. You may start to lower your sights and go, well, look, there's other houses on the block. You know what? I'll go get another house. I'll get a different house. Maybe right now is not the time for me to get my house. I ain't got time for you, devil, but I'm coming back. And when I come back, devil, I'm getting my house.
Amen.
See, you may give up the fight for something that you don't have already.
Yeah.
But if you know you already have it, you'll fight to keep it. There's a difference between fighting to get and fighting to keep. Because see, when I got something and I've experienced it and I've enjoyed it, see, it's not theoretical. It's not mental. I've lived in that house. That house means something to me. And if you think, devil, you're going to come and take what God has given to me, you got another thought coming.
Amen.
But if I think God hasn't given it to me yet, and I still got to get it, then I can start rationalizing. Well, maybe now's not the time. Could I get obstacles? Because the bank officer says no. Devil. Huh? Because the inspection guy said, oh, a leak in the roof. Devil.
Yes.
Right?
Yes.
Because neighbors, when I come out, they just shut their blind. Devil. Right? But when I start seeing devil all over the place, I might go, I don't want that house anyway. Because I don't have it yet. It's easier for us to walk away from something we don't already have.
Amen.
Huh? That's why some people don't get into commitment. But see, when you commit yourself to something or to somebody, even though you feel like walking away, you in for the long haul. Because I already have it, amen. I'm dating somebody. I don't want you to walk. Well, fine, I'm gone. But I might fight for my marriage, you understand? Fighting to keep is different than fighting to obtain.
Yeah.
And so think about it now. If we now understand, I already have been blessed. Now when we're fighting the enemy for the hit, and he's trying to take the blessings of God out of our life, we will fight with a different zeal. Because we're fighting to keep. Amen. I'm fighting to keep my peace. I'm not fighting to get peace. I'm fighting to keep it. God gave it to me, and this devil trying to take it from me. I'm fighting to keep my peace. I'm fighting to keep my joy. I'm fighting to keep my right mind. I'm not fighting to try to get one. It's a difference. It's like having that last cookie on your plate and having an imaginary cookie. If I come up to you and say, would you give me your last cookie? You go, yeah, I'll give you my last cookie. But when I tell you what, when you want that last cookie, boy, I try to come and take it, you be like a dog with a bone. It's something, it's different when it's real to you. You understand what I mean?
Yeah.
When it's real to you. When it's real to you. And when we realize we already have been blessed, we fight to keep the blessing. I'm not fighting to get it, amen? So listen, you have already been blessed. Don't be fooled into thinking that the thing to come is going to make you happy. The thing to come is going to make your life full and complete. A lot of people do that. They're happy because holidays are coming. They're happy because vacation is coming, because their daughter's wedding is coming, and now all of a sudden they're filled with happiness and joy because a blessing is coming. Mm-hmm. But see, if your happiness and your joy is tied to something that's coming, then understand that sadness is going to be loosed when that which comes leaves. Because see, when Christmas comes, but then Christmas is over. Your daughter gets married, but then life returns to normal. So that's why some people get depressed after Christmas, because they're so excited about what's coming. And then after it comes and leaves, they're no longer happy because their happiness was tied to the coming. But what happens when it's over? What happens when the thing leaves? If your happiness is tied to it coming, then please know you're going to be sad when it leaves.
Amen.
So let's not think that there's blessings that are coming to us. Know why I can be happy? Because I'm blessed right now. Not because it's coming, because I'm blessed right now. And I stay in the state of being blessed, which means I can always be happy.
Amen.
Because I'm always blessed.
Yeah, I'm decided.
And when the manifestation comes, listen, I had that thing already.
Yes. Hallelujah. Thank you, Lord.
You got to have your job before you have your job. You understand? So then when you jump down, the guy says you're hired, you're happy, praise the Lord, but you ain't jumping all crazy because you knew you had that already. I'm happy, but praise God, I was happy before I came.
Yeah.
Because I had it. So let's thank God, right? We start with thanking God, but also let's be mindful, we already have it.
Amen.
Right? I already have my blessing. And this is the thing that, you know, I'm encouraging you as much as I'm encouraging myself, amen. Because we gotta change our thinking.
Yes.
Because so many times we pray to God for things to come, and God's trying to say, no, 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 you're already blessed.
That's why you're here.
Amen. I'm already blessed. Yeah, I don't got to wait to be prosperous. God, I'm already prosperous.
Hallelujah.
I'm already healthy. Yeah. I'm already strong. Yeah. I'm already filled with joy. I already have peace. Yeah. I already have the answers and the wisdom because God has blessed me with them. They say, well, then, what do you ask God for? If you got everything already, why are you asking God? Can you imagine?
Yes.
Can you imagine prayer all of a sudden doesn't become just a bunch of asks?
Yep.
Can you imagine a life where most of your prayer is thankfulness?
Yes, thankfulness.
Wow.
God, I thank you.
Yes.
Amen.
Amen.
I thank you. But the Bible says ask and seek and knock. That's right. You ask and seek and you knock. But listen. But see, sometimes we ask God for things as if he don't have them. There's a difference between asking and knowing that your Father not only has it, but he'll give it to you. We ask not even believing he has it. And sometimes that he will give, Lord, I don't know how I'm going to pay this rent.
Yes. Yes.
As if God's bankrupt. As if God's resources are low. But see, when you know you're his child, and you start there, Lord, I thank you that you're that I'm your child. Lord, I thank you that you are my heavenly Father. I thank you that you love me as much as you love Jesus. I thank you that you made a promise that you wouldn't leave me nor forsake me. I thank you, God. Hallelujah. And you said you'll always be there for me.
Amen.
Right now, Lord, I need you to do such and such a thing. That's a different way of asking.
Yes.
That's a different way of asking because it's asking on the basis of who you know you already are and already have in the faithful God Jesus.
Yes. Amen.
That's an asking from confidence. Then you get up from that prayer and you're ready. You're ready for action. Let's get in the habit of thanking God. We start with thanking God, and then we acknowledge that we already have. The last thing, amen, if we're going to live this blessed life is this. The third and the last thing is God says that if we're going to live this blessed life, we need to speak well of our lives. Speak well of our lives. What in the world? Yeah, speak well of your life. Speak well of your life. Speak well of the things that are in your life. Speak well of the people who are in your life. Speak well of your life. Why should I do that? Because that's what it means to be blessed. Where do you get that from? Well, you see this word in Ephesians 1 and 3? Blessed be the God and Father of our Lord Jesus Christ who has blessed us. Who has blessed us. That word there, we're talking about he has blessed us with all spiritual blessings, that's a Greek word that's eulogio. Eulogio. It's where we get the word eulogy from. Eulogio. And you know what eulogio means? It means to speak well of. And that's why eulogy means to speak well of, right? When you eulogize someone, you speak well of them. At least you're supposed to. You're supposed to speak well of them. Well, that's what this word is here. Eulogio here, when it says he has blessed us. So notice what it says? It says, blessed be the God and Father of our Lord Jesus Christ, who has spoken well of us.
Wow.
So when God looks at our life, he speaks well of our life. Right? He speaks well of us. He speaks well of our life. When he looks at our finances, he speaks well of them.
Yeah.
Think about this for a second. When God has, come on somebody, as far as finances are concerned, God has blessed us with finances. He speaks well of them. We turn around and say, I'm broke. That's not speaking well of your finances. When God looks at your health, he says, by the stripes you're healed. I'm the Lord God who healeth you. Amen. Right? Let the weak say, I am strong. He speaks well of our health. What do we say? I got a headache. My body hurts. all these other kinds of things. And I know you say, well, that's the truth. Hey, I know, we're speaking things the way they are. But God is challenging us to what? To go up higher. Here's the bottom line. If God speaks well of your finances, how should you speak of them? You need to speak well. If God speaks well of your health, if God speaks well of your relationship, if God speaks well of your spouse, if God speaks well of your marriage, if God speaks well of your kids, if God speaks well of your co-workers, if God speaks well of your life, how should you speak about those things?
Wow.
You should speak well of them. So when it says God has blessed us, God has spoken well of us in all of these situations. And now we have to say, oh Lord, forgive me for the many times I've spoken evil of the things of which you have spoken well.
Wow.
And we wonder why we don't come into the blessing. Could it be because as God is speaking well over the blessing, instead of walking together with him, how can two walk together except they be agreed? If God is speaking well, then we need to speak well. But when he's speaking well and we speak evil, we stop walking together. And there's no blessing outside of the presence of God. And so now we're not walking together with God anymore, and yet we're still expecting the blessing. That's why we're frustrated.
Yes.
Speak well of your life. Amen? Speak well of your house. Speak well of your job. Speak well of your business. Speak well of your ministry. Speak well of you. If God has spoken well of you because he's blessed you, that means he speaks well of you. You need to speak well of you. Stop talking about what you don't have and what you can't do and what you do this. Speak well of yourself.
Amen.
Come on, somebody.
Amen.
Speak well. Speak well. Because if God has spoken well of it, how dare we downplay it?
Yeah.
How dare we diminish it?
Yeah.
Amen.
Amen.
God hath blessed us. He has spoken well of you. Aren't you glad about that?
Yes. Yeah.
That God looks at your life and he speaks well of your life. Amen.
Amen.
Amen. But we have to do the same thing. I want to look at one scripture and then we're going to get out of here. It's from a book that we don't often talk about, so you may have. It's the book of Philemon. Amen. Right before the book of Hebrews. It's only one chapter. So, you know, you can turn through it and pass it real fast on your way to other more familiar books in the Bible. But if you go to Philemon and look at verse number 4, Paul writes, he says, I thank my God, making mention of thee always in my prayers, hearing of thy love and faith which thou hast toward the Lord Jesus and toward all saints, that the communication or the sharing of your faith may become effectual. That the sharing of your faith, he says, I'm praying that the sharing of your faith may become effective. How? By the acknowledging of every good thing which is in you in Christ.
Yes. Amen.
Paul said that. He said, your sharing of your faith, the operation of your faith, the articulation of your faith, the expression of your faith will become more effective by the acknowledging of every good thing which is in you in Christ.
Yeah.
Do you see that sometimes that we don't acknowledge the things that are in us? Every good thing, every blessing that we have in Christ Jesus, all of the spiritual blessings. We're praying for peace even though we have the spirit of peace on the inside of us. That's not acknowledging the good thing that's in you. We're praying for joy even though joy is already on the inside of us because it's part of the fruit of the Spirit. That's not acknowledging every good thing that is in you. And he's saying that our faith becomes more effective as we acknowledge every good thing that is in us in Christ Jesus. That's why it's so important for us to realize I'm already blessed.
Yeah.
Because now I'm acknowledging all the good things that are in my life through Christ Jesus. And when I do that, my faith becomes more effective. So when it seems like I can't get breakthrough, or I've been believing but it's not happening, you know, maybe if we acknowledge more the goodness that's in our lives, and we acknowledge this thing, I know I'm blessed. I know the favor of God is with me. I know the grace of God is on my life. Amen? And we acknowledge these things, our faith becomes more effective. Saints, we have every spiritual blessing. Isn't that what the word says?
Amen.
That God has already blessed us with some. No, with every, with all, right? We have it with all spiritual blessings in Christ. So here's the thing. If we are already blessed, God is saying that we need to live like it. Live the blessed life. Amen. Thank God every day. There's so many things to be thankful for. Take inventory and give God the praise. Amen.
Amen.
Acknowledge that you already have it. I'm already blessed. I'm not waiting for it to come. I already have it. Amen.
Amen.
And then third, speak well of your life. Don't speak evil over your own life. Don't speak evil of the people that's in your life. Don't talk about what he never does for you or she never does for you. Don't talk about, you know, this is too small and all this other kind of stuff. Listen. You speak well of those things and those people who are in your life.
Yes.
Amen. That's what it means to be blessed, to speak well of. And see, when you speak well of it, you're acknowledging the goodness and the good things that are in your life. And the scripture says as we acknowledge the good things that are in us through Christ Jesus, our faith becomes more effective.
Amen.
Come on, somebody. You see how we undermine ourselves and we blame the devil? I think the devil knows that you guys are just, you're doing a good job. I mean, I don't need to bother with y'all. You're ungrateful. You're ungrateful. You don't say thanks. You don't know you're already blessed. You're up there asking God for stuff that you already gave. Even I already gave it to you.
Yeah.
And all the good stuff in your life, you spit on all of it. You act like it's nothing. Your faith don't work. Why is that worry with you? I'm going to worry about somebody else who operates in faith. And we blame the devil. The devil just messing with me. The devil just messing. The devil not messing with you. We messing with ourselves, but not anymore, amen? We gonna start living a blessed life, amen? I know I'm blessed. I thank God. I already have it, and I'm gonna speak well of those things,
amen?
And I'm gonna stop fighting to get, and I'm gonna fight to keep, because I know I already have it, amen? So listen, as we get into Thanksgiving week, amen, know that we have a lot to be thankful for. But it's not just at this time of the year. It's every single day. Amen? It's every single day. And as we do that, I'm telling you, as we give thanks to God every day and realize we're blessed and speak well of ourselves, I'm telling you, we'll stay in the spirit of Thanksgiving. We'll stay there. Right? Because that's all we'll be doing. We'll develop that habit and that strength. But it also will transform our lives by making us more effective in our walk of faith. Amen?
Amen.
Amen. Praise be unto God. I'm already blessed. How about you?
Amen.
Amen. I am not waiting for blessings to come into my life. I am already blessed. Amen. Amen. I have it already. Glory to God. I have it already. Glory to God. What are you waiting on for God? I have it already.
Amen.
I have it. Now, I might be waiting. There's a difference between waiting for the natural manifestation, but in the spirit realm, I have it already.
Amen.
Mm-hmm. I have it already. Amen. Praise be unto God. We have it already. We are already blessed. And we're living the blessed life. Amen.
Amen.
Glory to God. Let's rest on our feet and pray today. Hallelujah. I'm living the blessed life. Glory to God. God has blessed me. Hallelujah. Father, we thank you right now in the name of Jesus. We thank you, Lord, for the word you have spoken unto us.
Yeah.
You have blessed us.
Yeah.
Hallelujah. With all spiritual blessings in heavenly places in Christ Jesus. We already have it. It's already ours. And Father, you are commanding us and directing us, encouraging us, and showing us how to live the blessed life. Too many of us, God, are living beneath our privileges as your children. But Father, we desire to see that change today in the name of Jesus. That we will no longer live like paupers, but we will live like prince and princesses, oh God, in the name of Jesus. As the kings that you have made us to be. Father, we thank you right now that we are already blessed. Father God, we thank you, oh God, for life, health, and strength, for being in our right mind. Father, help us to develop the habit of taking inventory daily of our lives, of all the goodness that's in our lives, and to give you the praise for it in the name of Jesus. Help us, oh God, to know we already have it. We're not fighting to get it. We're fighting to keep it, Lord, and we already have the blessings in the name of Jesus. And lastly, Lord, help us, glory to God, to change our vocabulary, to begin speaking well of our lives, speaking well of the things in our lives, speaking well of the people in our lives, oh God, because that's what it means to bless. You have spoken well of us. Let us speak well now of ourselves and all those things and people that are in our lives. And Father, we thank you, hallelujah, that we believe that as we do these things, glory to God, we shall be changed. Hallelujah. Our countenances shall be lifted. Hallelujah. Our voices will change, and the words that we speak will change, and our thoughts will change, oh God. Father, we will have a transformation because we will live as people who know they're blessed. And Father God, we just thank you right now. Hallelujah. That we will live in a way that brings greater glory to your name. Hallelujah, hallelujah. And so, Father, I thank you that everyone under the sound of my voice, hallelujah, all of your children are already blessed. Father, I just thank you now, glory to God, that we will walk in this revelation in the name of Jesus and begin, starting on this day, to live the blessed life.
Yes.
We give you the praise, we give you the thanks, we give you the glory. In Jesus' name.
Jesus' name.
Amen. 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 Glory to God.